Because it meant, for I have seen God. Everybody say God. Who was that man, unknown man that he wrestled with? It was a manifestation of God. He says, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. As he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. The sun rose upon him. What a wonderful portion of scripture. This is the most important crisis in the life of Jacob. And I want to preach this morning this simple title: The Dawning of a New Day. The dawning of a new day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you make all things new. Lord, that you can do a work in our lives, taking out the old and replacing it with new. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a brand new start in you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. The dawning of a new day. You see, much of the Bible, in fact, much of Genesis is given to the story of Jacob. I think if you would carefully study the characters in the Bible, aside from Jesus Christ, more time is given to Jacob than anybody else. When we read the story of Jacob, we read two aspects of Jacob's life, one as the natural man and one as the spiritual man. We see two aspects of Jacob's life. We see how Jacob found God's grace, and we also see what God's grace did for Jacob. And so in our text this morning, we read of this wrestle that Jacob had with God. Just before this time that we read about, Jacob was in great distress. Esau, who when they had last met, had told Jacob that he wanted to kill him. He hadn't seen Esau for a long time, but now somebody comes and tells Jacob, he says, Jacob, Esau is coming to visit you. And I'm sure the words of Esau as they last met were still ringing in Jacob's mind. When Esau told him, Jacob, I'm going to get your back. I'm going to kill you, Jacob. I'm going to get your back for what you took off me. And so news came to Jacob that Esau was coming, and he wasn't coming alone, but Esau was coming with 400 men. Jacob's thinking, you know, everything that I've accumulated, everything that I got, and my family and everyone is going to be taken from me. And so as a precautionary measure, he sends his family away. He splits them up. He sends them across the river. He tells them to go and find safety. And now we come to our text, and the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. Everybody say left alone. We know that this man that he wrestled with was a manifestation of God. Later in Hosea calls the man an angel. But Jacob himself tells us who that man was when he says, for I have seen God face to face. First thing I want to point out to you is in verse 24 at the beginning of our text, and hopefully you've still got your Bible open there. The next slide there, Brother Morty. It says, and Jacob was left alone. Next slide. Jacob was left alone. There's something powerful in this for us today. There's something very powerful in these first five words of verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone. You see, brothers and sisters gathered here today, friends and family, to be left alone with God is the only true way that you can arrive at a true knowledge of yourself. To be left alone with God is the only way that you can come to a true knowledge of your ways and where you stand. It only comes when you get alone with God. The old song that they used to sing says, shut in with God in a secret place, seeking his face, alone with God, shut in with God. And Jacob was there at that place. He was alone with God. This morning, brethren, sisters, it doesn't matter what we think about ourselves. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about us. The greatest question you can ask yourself and the most important question that you can ask yourself is, what does God think about me? And the answer to that question can only come. The answer to the question, what does God think about me, can only come when you get alone with God. In that secret place, when everybody else is gone, when you're away from the world, when you're away from yourself and your selfishness, and you're away from your things, and you're away from your thoughts, and you're away from your reasonings, you're away from your emotions, and you're away from everything, and you are alone with God. Maybe somebody here today, you'll find your life so crowded out with things, with work and with people and demands and all these things. Maybe you've got, you're thinking things about yourself and you're worried about what everybody else is thinking. But I want to tell you, the only way that you can walk in victory with God is to get alone with God and say, God, I don't worry what everybody else thinks about me, but God, I got to know what you're thinking about me. God, I gotta know the way that you see me. I've gotta know what you're thinking about me and how you see me, God. I got to get alone with you. Alone with God. We read on in verse 24. Next slide. And the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with God until the breaking of the day. Jacob wrestled with God from dark until dawn. That mysterious conflict with that manifestation of God, it lasted from dark all the way through to dawn. It was a long time that Jacob wrestled with God. And in my mind, I'm thinking, God, if you're so powerful, and God, if you can do things at the snap of a finger, at the blink of an eye, God, why did you take so long to do a work in Jacob? God, why did you take so long? From dark until dawn, why did you take so long to get through to Jacob? You see, I was thinking if God was trying to show Jacob something, then, you know, maybe he could have taken a shortcut. Maybe he could have done something a little bit more dramatic to get Jacob's attention. But if we start thinking that way, if we start, and God could have done that. God could have got Jacob's attention like that at the blink of an eye, but we forget about God's wonderful patience towards us. The Bible says that he is long-suffering towards us. Let me tell you, God doesn't suffer really, but I tell you, the main cause of his suffering is us. In fact, when he went to the cross, it was because of us. He suffered on the cross for us, and he is still patient with us, and he still suffers long with us. And here on this day with Jacob, God wrestled with him from dark until dawn. You see, how many people this morning are thankful for the patience of God? Are you thankful for the patience of God? Right when God could just do something in our life and bring us to nothing, smite us with some sickness to get our attention, but God is long-suffering. I'm thankful to God for his patience in my life. I'm thankful to God that he's willing to rest, let me wrestle with him until I see exactly what he's trying to say. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says he's long-suffering towards us. He suffers long with us. But while he suffers long with us, he accomplishes his purpose. If we would just get a hold of God and not let go of him, yes, sometimes it's going to be a struggle, but if we would just hold on to God, he will accomplish his purpose, and grace will cover our lives if we would just hold on to God. We go through to verse 25 as we break down this portion of scripture today. When God saw that he couldn't win the match against Jacob, the Bible says that he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he continued to wrestle with him. At first I was thinking, you know, why did it take from dark till dawn to get Jacob's attention? Why didn't God do something? And then this verse tells us that God could have done something a lot earlier. Because he touched the hollow of his thigh and it was out of joint. You see, God touched Jacob's life. He now brought to an end. He's now brought to his end of his own resources. In one swift stroke from the divine hand of God, Jacob is there, rendered utterly powerless. He's brought to the end of himself. He's brought to the end of his resources. He's brought down to nothing. And this is the purpose of God in his dealings with us. God wants us to realize that we can't do this on our own. We can't rely on our own strength. We can't rely on our knowledge and our own logic and our own reasoning. But God wants to get our attention. He wants us to realize that the only hope we have is him. And so when God orders our path, when God has his way in our life, when we let God work in our life, yes, he will allow circumstances. Everybody say circumstances. God will allow, just like God had to allow things to come into Jacob's life. He will allow tests. He will allow trials. In the discipline of his love, God will allow us to be afflicted. He will allow us to suffer. Why? Because he wants to bring us to the end of ourselves. I said to somebody as early as this morning, so I was talking with them today, I said, brother, if you could have done it, you would have already done it. If you had the strength to do this, you would have already done it. I said, you got to get into the presence of God and you've got to trust God. You got to come to the end of yourself. Why does God do that? God wants to get our attention, to show us that we can't do things in our own strength, to show us that we are powerless, to teach us, as Paul said, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength. We can only experience the perfection of God's strength and the ultimate power of God's strength when we are at our weakest place. And so God brought Jacob to the end of himself so that he could do a work in Jacob's life. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he's looking to show himself strong on our behalf. God wants to do something on our behalf. God wants to do miracles in our life. He wants to provide for us. He wants to lead and guide us. He wants to show himself strong. But the mistake many of us make is that all while God is looking to show himself strong for us, we're trying to show God how strong we are. We wait to pray until everything is, it's our last resort. We wait to pray until everything is at a complete loss. We hold off. But I want to tell you that if we would just seek God and be brought to the end of ourselves, to the end of our resources, that in our weakness, he is made strong. And so some of us need to realize and have a consciousness of our weakness. We move on now through the scripture a little bit into verse 26. The Bible says, and he said, let me go. Now this is interesting. Because this manifestation of God, this man that jumped on Jacob and started wrestling with him, you would think that Jacob would have been saying, let me go. But now, Jacob's got a hold of this man so much that the angel of the Lord's saying, hey man, let me go. You're crazy. Let me go. He said, we've been fighting all night and the daytime is coming. The dawning of a new day is about to happen. Come on, Jacob, why don't you let me go? And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I want you to see what God has accomplished in Jacob's life. No longer could Jacob wrestle. No longer could he wrestle with God anymore. He could only cling to God. He just clung to Him and he leaned on Him. You see, up until now, up until this point and this experience, Jacob sought to order his own life. He sought to be in control of his things. He sought to be in control of his own life. He was planning, he was scheming, he was devising, but now he was left alone with God. And now God says, Jacob, I'm going to show you how perfectly helpless you are in your own self. And in that wrestle, Jacob says, God, I cannot let you go. I need you. Oh, God, I have no other refuge. My helpless soul is clinging to you, God, because now it's the dawning of a new day. I'm holding on to you, God. And here it is. God dislocates his hip. And there he is. He's still fighting. He says, God, I will not let you go except you bless me. We go now to the next verse in verse 27 and verse 28. And the angel said unto him, he said to Jacob, what is your name? Now, the angel already knew his name. But his name meant something that really described Jacob's whole life. He said, what is your name? You see, it's obvious that God is pressing on Jacob's conscience. He's saying, Jacob, I want you to realize who you used to be. I want you to realize who you are. And he says, and he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob. I'm going to do a work in your life. A new day is dawning. The glory of a new day is about to break, Jacob. You're no longer going to be Jacob. You're no longer going to be a deceiver. But now I'm going to change your name to Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and has prevailed. Names in the Bible are very significant. If you look at the meaning of a name, Jacob's name was changed from a name that meant deceiver, and it was changed to Israel, a new name, which means God commands. Everybody say, God commands. You see, it was the dawning of a new day for Jacob. All along, Jacob, first of all, he contended for the birthright. He contended. He fought for it. He contended for it and he got it. He succeeded. And then he went and he contended for the blessing from his father and he succeeded. And then he went and he contended with Laban and he was successful. And he contended with men and he succeeded. But now he was contending with God. As he wrestled that day, he was contending with God. All along, he had contended with man and with circumstances and for the blessing and the birthright, but now he's contending with God and he fails. And so his new name was changed to Israel, meaning, now, David, you're no longer contending anymore. You're no longer pushing for your own ambition and you're no longer pushing for your own ways. But I'm going to change your name to Israel, which means God commands. You're no longer going to be following your own path. You're no longer going to be following your own ways. But now, Jacob, you're going to be following the ways of God because you're going to be following the commands of God. I can't help but see in the story of Jacob, ourselves. Everyone just point to yourself for a second. So often we're just like Jacob, contending, conniving, trying to get our way, trying to find a path, trying to do it in our own strength. But I thank God that he's patient with us. You see, Jacob is a striking picture of our own flesh. He's a striking picture of the worthlessness and helplessness of our flesh. And our nothingness. We will never realize who we really are and what we can't do until we get alone with God, until we begin to wrestle with God and He subdues our flesh. Yes, sometimes it's going to take some time. It's going to take some patience of God. But what He's wanting to do is to subdue our flesh so that we rely on Him. We're stubborn people, aren't we? You see, it's funny how we're referred to as sheep, because sheep can be very stubborn. And a lot of us, in fact, all of us, we're just like sheep. It's not until God stops us in our tracks, boom. It's not until God brings something across our path and we can't do anything about it, that then we say, God, okay, now You've got my attention. God, You're my only solution. I tried everything. I tried the doctors. I tried solicitors. I tried counseling. I tried psychologists and psychiatrists. I tried medication. And you know what? It didn't work. But now, God, I'm looking to You. You've got my attention. You've stopped me in my tracks. And God stopped Jacob in his tracks. Why did God stop Jacob in his tracks? Because He wanted to bring a new day to Jacob. He wanted to bring a new name to Jacob. He wanted to give him a new purpose. He wanted to give him a new life. And I want to tell you, maybe this message is confronting this morning, but God is using this man in this pulpit today to bring you to an end of yourself, because a new day is dawning for you. It's a new year, yes, but God wants to bring a new day into your life. It's the dawning of a new day. I wish I was a morning person, because they tell me that there's nothing as beautiful as the dawning of a new day. And I tell you, in the spiritual realm, there's nothing as beautiful when we realize that we can't do it in our own strength. And we get a hold of God. We get alone with God. And God begins to work in our life. He begins to be patient with us and teach us. And we're striving with Him. We're saying, God, I don't understand it. But God says, come on, my child. A new day is about to dawn in your life. You're going to walk with new power, with new promises, with new blessings, new provision in your life. Because a new day is dawning. And a new day was about to dawn in the life of Jacob. The Bible says, and He blessed him there. You see, after his name was changed to God Commands, when God began to command his life, when he began to be obedient to the commands of God, when he began to walk in the ways of God, the blessings of God followed. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 2, it says, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. When God began to command Jacob's life, when Jacob began to follow the ways of God, it was only then that Jacob could walk in the blessings of God. And I've come to tell somebody today, if you want to walk in the blessings of God, it's found by walking in the ways of God. It's found by being obedient to God's word. It's found by being obedient to the Spirit of God. You see, it was obedience that filled the nets. They'd been trying in their own strength. They said, Jesus, we've been fishing all day and we caught nothing. We got nothing. We got no fish. And Jesus says, okay, I want you to go out. I want you to cast your net on the other side. What did they say? They responded to Jesus and they said, nevertheless, at thy word. Because you told us, God, and we want to be obedient to your word. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will cast out our nets. And it was because of their obedience to God that the blessing of God, those fish filled the nets and it was overflowing. God got Jacob's attention. And when he began to let God command, just as the name Israel means, God command, he began to experience the blessings of God. You see, in our flesh, it's natural to plan and to scheme. It's natural for us to try and order our lives. And in our minds, we seem so competent. In our minds, it seems like we're able to do all of those things. But God in His faithfulness, everybody say faithfulness. And God in His love, He wants to correct that reliance on ourselves in our life, that habit to rely on ourselves. God wants to correct it. And today, God wants to correct that self-reliance in our lives. God is speaking to somebody today. It's the dawning of a new day. A new beginning is within your grasp. It's time to stop doing things in your own strength. And it's time to lean on God. It's time to cling to God. He's going to give you a new name. He's going to give you a new future. He's going to give you a new purpose. He's going to give you salvation if you would just cling to Him. I love before and afters. I guess you could probably do a before and after on me, before Christmas and after Christmas. It wouldn't be anything they'd use for advertising, Weight Watchers, or anything like that. It might be the opposite. But Jacob had a before and after. Before, Jacob was a contender. And until we can cease being contenders, trying to tell God what to do with our life, and how to do it, and contending with God all the time. Until we cease being contenders, the potter, that master potter, cannot work on us. So before he was a contender, but after he allowed God to command his life, he was no longer contending, but he was following the commands of life. When God orders our life, we will be blessed. A new day can dawn in your life. You see that old nature of Jacob, a deceiver. God knew what was deeper in Jacob's heart. God said, Jacob, I can see a rough diamond. I can see you contending and trying to do everything in your strength. I know that there's something deeper in your heart. I know that a new day can come to your life, Jacob. God knew how to bring out the gold that was buried in Jacob's heart. The Bible says, and as the morning came, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And the Bible says that he said, you got to let me go. And he said, I'm not letting you go. He said, you got to let me go because a new day is coming. I want to tell you, you've been wrestling with God long enough. It's time to start clinging to him and saying, God, I need your blessing. I need your ways. I'm not going to contend anymore, but I want to follow your word and let you command my life. The dawning of a new day. He wrestled with the angel until the morning came, until there was a breakthrough. The past was gone. It was the dawning of a new day. I want to tell you today, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't repented of your sins, I want to tell you that a new beginning is within your grasp. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, let me tell you that your sins can be washed away in the waters of baptism. And I'm not saying that you just turn over a new leaf. A lot of us like to think of making changes in our life like turning over a new leaf. It's not turning over a new leaf. The Bible calls it being born again. It's a completely new leaf. It's not an old leaf turned over, but God gives you a fresh start. He gives you a clean slate. The Bible says that when we are baptized in Jesus' name, that our sins are washed away. And He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He'll put new breath. He will put new purpose. He will put a new strength in you through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, God still gives names to those that overcome. Revelation chapter 12 verse 17 says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, if you read the context of this, he's talking about Christians overcoming an evil world. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone. And in the stone, I will give you a new name written. I want to tell you, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you take on the name of Jesus Christ. You become part of the family of God. You become a child of God, and you take on his name. Praise God. The musicians could come. You see somebody here today, you've been feeling like giving up. You've been feeling like turning and walking away. You've been struggling, but I want to tell you, the sun's about to shine. A new day is about to dawn. The glory of a new day. Maybe you've been searching for a long time and you've drifted away from God. Maybe you're searching for the meaning of life. I want to tell you today that a new day is dawning in your life. Maybe you've been searching to try and find something to fill that emptiness in your heart. I want to tell you that today can be the dawning of a new day. Maybe 2015 is one of those ones that I talked about where you stayed up on New Year's Eve, not to see the new year in, but to see an old year out. I want to tell you that a new day is about to dawn in your life. You can have a new beginning if you would just cling to God and cling to His Word and say, God, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. You must increase, God. I must decrease. I've got to let your Word have its way in my life. I want to tell you today, a new day is dawning in your life. You see, the world says once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. The world says once an addict, always an addict. The world says if you were abused and neglected as a child, then it's going to have to follow you for the rest of your life. The world says the best that you can ever hope for is just to learn to cope. That's what the world says, but that's not what God says. God's word said, next slide, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The world gives you no hope, but there's hope in Jesus Christ. It's the dawning of a new day. All things are passed away. Yesterday is gone. And today, all things become new because it's the dawning of a new day. It was the dawning of a new day for Jacob. He took on a new name. No longer just Jacob, the deceiver, but a spiritual man. If we can all stand in the place today. In Mark chapter 10, it tells us about a man who was defined by his disabilities, his inadequacies. The Bible calls him blind Bartimaeus. There was Bartimaeus, he was waiting beside the road. He had no hope. He was blind. Just waiting there begging day after day after day after day. A beggar. One day somebody came along to blind Bartimaeus and said, Bartimaeus, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, I'm not sure that blind Bartimaeus knew everything about Jesus. I'm not sure that he had a really depth theological understanding of who Jesus was or why Jesus came, or I don't even know if he knew very much about the ministry of Jesus. But I know he knew one thing. Bartimaeus knew one thing, that Jesus was a game changer. Jesus was a life changer. Jesus was a deliverer from yesterday's burdens. He knew. Bartimaeus knew as he sat on that road and he heard that Jesus was coming. He knew that Jesus could change his whole life. Maybe you're here today. I want to tell you that Jesus is here. You might not have a depth of theological understanding. You might not know everything about the Bible. You might not even know very much about Jesus, but I want to tell you, when you get Jesus, it's the dawning of a new day. Bartimaeus made up his mind. He said, I'm going to get Jesus' attention. I'm blind. I don't have much strength, but I got to get Jesus' attention. I want to receive my miracle, not tomorrow, but I want to receive it today. Bartimaeus sat there. He couldn't see. He says, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. Where are you, Jesus? I need you. I can hear the crowd calling your name. I can hear the hustle and bustle. Jesus, where thou son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody begin to feel uneasy about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, hey, Jesus is a pretty important guy. Stop yelling out. Stop shouting and embarrassing everybody around you. And you know what? He said, that's okay for you. You can sit there quiet, but I got a need. I'm desperate. And he started crying all the more. The Bible says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried and he cried to Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, verse 49, the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. Jesus was on his way somewhere, but it was the cry of a desperate man who had come to the end of himself, who had come to the end of his resources, who had come to the end of everything, and he began to cry out to God. And the Bible says Jesus stood still. He said, call that boy to come to me. He said, be of good comfort. Rise, because Jesus is calling you. Verse 50 says, and Bartimaeus stood up. The Bible says that he cast away his garment. He took off his coat. The Bible says he got up, he took off his coat. And he came to Jesus. Bartimaeus, why did you take your coat off? You see, Bartimaeus realized. He said, that's a beggar's coat. That's a blind man's coat. I've been wearing that coat too long. I've been identified by my circumstances for too long. It's a beggar's coat, and I'm not going to be a beggar anymore. I'm going to drop my coat on the ground because it's the dawning of a new day. It's the dawning of a new day. And the Bible says that he was healed that day. I want to tell you today, it's time to get up. It's time to cast that last year aside. Throw it behind you. Put your ways behind you, your ambitions and everything, whatever it is that you're trying to do in your own strength, and say, that's not me anymore, because it's the dawning of a new day. God promises us beauty for ashes. Isn't that amazing? We give him ashes. He makes it beautiful. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I haven't got much to offer God. I got a mess. My life is a mess. Everything's a mess. It's not much more than ashes, Pastor, I got. Let me tell you, give him your ashes. He'll make it beautiful. Don't stop in the now. If it's ashes, he can make it beautiful, because it's the dawning of a new day. God is speaking to someone right now in this place. It's time to get up from where you've sat for so long. That identity, whatever it is, trying to pursue in your own strength, just trying to survive, just, you know, constantly just walking back to the world, come to church. It's time to leave it behind and get a hold of God. God, I don't have much to offer you. I got ashes, but Lord, you said you can make it beautiful. Oh God. God wants to give somebody a new name today, a new purpose, a new call, because it's the dawning of a new day.